something, y'all missed a great chance. When Brother Jones is shouting, it's on.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, it's a joy to be here.
Thank God for what our hearts have felt.
Yeah.
It's just always good to go to church and your heart feels something.
Yeah.
I've been in some where you couldn't feel nothing. But what a blessing it has been already. And my this morning, how it so helped me. Appreciate this church. And I appreciate some men that are here that has played a great role in my life. And so from my heart, thank you so very much. Love Brother Danny, Miss Marcia, and I appreciate them and their encouragement to me. And I need your prayers tonight that God will help us. And if he doesn't help us, it's all going to be in vain. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 38. Jeremiah, chapter number 38. Verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Jedaliah, the son of Pasher, and Jochal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pasher, the son of Malchiah, he heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all of the people, saying." He said, "Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. For he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." You know, I've learned this, that everything the Lord has to say isn't always encouraging. The Bible said in verse number 4, "Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death." And the only reason why was because he had just revealed unto them, "Thus saith the Lord." Yeah. I've learned this in life. Every time you say something about the Lord and from the Lord, everybody's not going to appreciate it. Said, "Let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all of the people in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt." Then Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he is in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you." Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamilah, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, he said, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is locked to die for hunger in the place where he is. For there's no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee. Take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords. They took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I'd say tonight that out of all of the major prophets, that Jeremiah would be probably my favorite. If he's not my favorite, he ranges in the top two. Amen, I'll tell you that. Two reasons for this being when Nebuchadnezzar had seized Jerusalem, he left the city in shambles. The poor and the illiterate were left behind to tend the land, and Jeremiah was the one that was left behind to minister to the poor. And so therefore, Jeremiah was remembered as being the poor man's prophet. And then the second thing was this, is that I like Jeremiah because he was referred to as being the weeping prophet. Jeremiah ministered with a broken heart. You'll not go wrong by ministering with a broken heart. I was 26 years old, first time I ever heard Brother Leroy. And there were two things that stood out to me about the preacher. Number one, I remembered the touch of God that was upon Brother Leroy's life. And then the second thing that I never did get over was the fact of his tears. In fact, I found myself longing to have what the man of God had. You remember what it was like years ago when we saw things in men of God that we wanted what they had? And we pursued it. It became an obsession to us. Now I'm fearful tonight that we've gotten over that. But Jeremiah was one that he was the poor man's prophet. He was a weeping prophet. And here we have one of the many places that he found himself in during his ministry. His punishment was more than just a pit. But the Bible said this, that his punishment was a pit with mire. Mire was nothing more tonight than just deep mud or earth that was so wet that it yielded to the feet or to a wheel. This dungeon that Jeremiah was in was a cistern that at one time had been full of water. But due to the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, we find that it was emptied of the water and only the mire remained. Josephus, the Jewish historian, said this, that Jeremiah wasn't just in the mire, but Jeremiah sunk in the mire up to his neck.
Some think that it was at this time that Jeremiah penned down the words that we find in Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 53 through 57. Listen to what he's had to say in the midst of the mire. He said that they have cut off my life in the dungeon and they cast a stone upon me. He said waters flowed over mine head and then I said I am cut off. Then he said, I called upon the name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. Let us learn tonight from Jeremiah's experience, instead of words of bitterness, instead of words of frustration because life hasn't gone the way that he thought that it should have gone, instead of expressing his disgruntledness, we find that he's offering words of encouragement to those that down the road are going to find themselves in the same place that he found himself in. And the same one that got him out is the same one that's going to get us out of these low places that are in our lives. When I think about this pit that Jeremiah was in, the first thing that seems to capture my mind is this. I think about the depth of the pit. It was a place that where he was at, he was so low that there was no escaping it. In fact, it was so low that the only hope that he had was somebody coming by that my friend wasn't in the pit. Somebody coming by that could reach further down than the pit went, and my friend, and lift him up. You ever find yourself in a low place in your life that you feel like in your soul that you ain't never going to get out? But the only hope that you have is somebody knowing where you're at and coming to where you're at and stopping where you're at and delivering you out of the place that you're in, the depth of the pit. The second thing that I think about this pit, Brother Gary, is this. I think about the darkness of the pit. Yeah. You see, for Jeremiah's that, there is no light. For Jeremiah's that, it's dark and he can't find the way. And I'm sort of believing that, my friend, this is the reason why that they let down the rags with those ropes, so that the men of God could find the rags easily. And can I say this? It's one thing to be in a low place, but my friend, it's another thing for it to be so dark where you're at that, my friend, you can't see no light. You can't see no hope. You can't see no way out. And my friend, somebody said it can't get no worse, but I'm telling you, it can get a lot worse. Talking about the depth of the pit. I'm talking about the darkness of the pit. And then I think about the dominance of the pit. Jeremiah is no longer in charge. The pit is in charge. And then I thought about this. I thought about the depth of the pit. You see, in relation to Jeremiah, there was not a moment to be lost. The life of the faithful servant of God, though, was not to end amid the damp darkness of that sepulcher from which no cry could reach the upper air. David had a similar experience like this. David said this. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I thought about this. I was curious. I was looking at that passage one time and I said, I wonder where that end of the earth is. So I got my commentaries down. I started reading what they said, and then they skipped over that part because they knew about as much about it as I did. Can I have a little wit? And then it dawned on me, why don't I ask the author of the book where the end of the earth is at? And he said, you really are slow, aren't you? He said, the end of the earth is as far as you can go. Can I say this tonight? I'm grateful that God, my friend, is not going to let us be overcome. I'm grateful tonight that my friend, he's not going to put much on us that we can bear. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a thin line between that we can bear and that we can no longer bear. And when we get to the end of the place where that seems like that we're going down to never rise again, I'm glad that there's a rock tonight that is higher than I. Oh, listen to me. The same one that delivered him out of the pit, I can deliver you out of this place in your life. I read that seems like the more that one attempts to step out of this miry pit, seems like the deeper that he sinks. You ever found yourself in a place, a low place in your life? And it seems like that, my friend, you're losing footing. You come to church, you hear the answers. But at this season in your life, it just seems like that the answers don't help you. You hear truth, but it seems like that my friend, the light is not there to see. And it seems like that the more that I'm telling, nobody wants to die in the pit. And the more that you find yourself trying to step out, the more that you find yourself seeking up in this mind. You ever feel like you're in a place that you ain't never going to get out? Some are in those places because of others. Hey, mama, it might be a son or a daughter. Hey, dad, it might be a child. Hey, husband, it might be a wife. Hey, wife, it might be a husband. You can't explain it. You can't understand it. You're not there because of choices that you've made. You prayed what everybody else has prayed. That prayer of guarantee that's supposed to free you from issues. But all out of nowhere, you're one phone call away. You're one doctor visit away. You're one incident away, my friend, of finding yourself in some are in a pit because of others. Some are in a pit tonight because of their own choosing. Place that you're in tonight is nothing more than just a byproduct of the choices tonight that you made. And then some are in a low place tonight because it just goes with the territory. But it's not over. It's not over. I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on this thought. When you're in a pit. When you're in a pit. Lord, I wish I could tell you tonight there ain't never going to be no low places in your life. We know better than that, don't we? I'm going to tell you what'll help you when you're in the mire. Number one, you just need a faith. I'm not saying you need faith. You need a faith. Something to believe in. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have something to put that belief in, then it's not going to do you no good. Amen. Job believed that there was something beyond this life. He said, though after the skin worms divide this body, he said, I'll tell you what I believe. I'm going to see him face to face. Job said, hey, this ash heap does not be, it's not over.
Amen.
Saul asked David this. Saul said, what makes you think that you can face this giant? And he said, I'll tell you why I believe I can face it. Because I got a faith. Yeah. Yeah. The same God that delivered the bear and the lion into my hand, it's the same God that's going to deliver this giant in my hand. When you're in the pit tonight, you need a faith.
Amen.
Let me give you some things that you can believe. Number one, you can believe tonight in the hand of God. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 31, where he said this in verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God, and my times are in thy hands. How many is glad tonight that our times are in God's hands? David said, where I am at and what I'm going through and where I'm headed are not controlled by these hands. But he said this, but it's controlled by the hands of the Lord. The hand suggests me that God is in possession of it. You heard the story of the little boy that went to the store with his dad. He kept eyeing the candy jar. The store owner watched him and looked at him and said, son, why don't you just go ahead and just stick your hand in there and just get your hand full of it. And that boy looked at him. The dad said, go ahead, do it. He said, you can do it. And he just looked at it, looked at him, looked at it. And finally, the store owner got so frustrated, he just grabbed up the jar and stuck his hand in him and grabbed the bag and put that hand full of candy in that bag and gave it to the little boy. Daddy got him outside the store and said, son, why didn't you do what the man said? He said to stick your hand in it and get your hand full of candy. Hey, he said, the reason why I didn't do it is because his hand's bigger than my hand. Can I tell you tonight that these hands have got me in a lot of situations? But my friend, his hands tonight, that's got the world in his hands and the water in his hands tonight, these hands got me in it. But thank God his hands got me out. You read the story, you'll find that there was a few that my friend put Jeremiah in the pit. But when God got ready to get him out, he sent over 30, my friend, that tells me where sins abound, grace does much more abound. God's grace and hands is far greater than the pit that you're in tonight.
Amen.
You can trust the hands of God. What about this? You can trust the heart of God.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight that Brother Buddy, we're not just in his hands, but we're in his heart. I'm enjoying being a grandparent. I've heard it said, it didn't mean much to me then, but it does now. I heard them say that, you know, the grandchildren are our rewards for not killing our kids when they was growing up and had a little witness. And the only thing I wished, Brother John, I could have had my grandkids first. Amen. And my oldest grandson, Weston, all of them ask me for things, but he really has no problem asking me.
Yeah.
And he's specific. I'll pull up, and there's nothing in all the world that does my heart any good when them kids come running out.
Amen.
Thank God they got some clothes, some don't. Got drawers, and that's about it. Amen. The only thing they know is that Papa has drove up on the premises. And then Weston come up to me and he said, Papa, can I have $5? And I said, what do you want $5 for? He said, I want to buy a book. And his mom was looking at me going. And I told him, I said, see me when I leave. Amen. Our secret. We all right?
Yep.
And then Amanda apologizes to me, said, we're trying to tell him that they're not supposed to ask you for everything.
And finally, I think after about 6 grandkids, Amanda realizes that they're in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, there's things I'd give them my arm if it would help them. Because they're in my heart. Are we all right? Josh slapped him one time on the shoulder and said, I told you to quit doing that, and I slapped y'all back. I said, he's supposed to do that. I'm Papa.
They're in my heart. You said I'd ask it, but my friend, it's my fault that I'm in this pit. You say, oh, I tell you what I'd do. I'd do more, but I'm telling you, sorry, I don't deserve it. I deserve to die where I'm at. But I'm here to tell you, hey, church, God has us in his heart. Whether we're up, whether we're down, whether we're good, whether we're bad, we're in the heart of God. And you can trust his heart to get you out of those low places in your life.
Amen.
Then let me say this. You can trust the history of God. Can I say this with all my heart tonight, that he has showed himself strong? He showed himself strong. Hey, in lions' dens and fiery furnaces and stormy seas and fields of battles, and how he showed himself strong in dark hours and hospital rooms and how by grave sites tonight. I'm here to tell you, no matter how deep you are in the pit, you can have faith in God.
Amen.
Then not only do you need faith, we're in the pit. Number 2, you need some fight. Refuse to give up. Let me offer a word of exhortation. I don't want to preach on this. You don't get many meetings preaching on this. But it's the truth. Moms need to quit raising their boys to be soft and pretty. Let them be boys. Let them get dirty. Let them pick their nose. Let them pull one out and eat it. Didn't hurt you. I've told Amanda, my daughter-in-law, I've told her, Brother Jones, over and over and over again, thank you for letting them boys be boys.
Amen.
She sends me a picture. She got a picture. And I got 2 boys. I got a granddaughter, and I got 2 boys, and I got a granddaughter. And so Abigail was, I'm telling you, she was at their mercies. And Amanda would send me pictures, and one time she was covered from the top of her head down to the base of her neck and her arm in red clay dirt. And Amanda said, this is what happened when you let the sister play with her brothers. And I said, oh, that blesses my heart. She said, yeah, but you are not washing the clothes. I'm trying my best to tell you tonight that we're living in a society of softness. We're living in a time that, hey, Listen, they want their safe places, and they don't want to be offended, and they want a place by themselves that will guarantee it. But what burdens my heart is this: preachers are being graduated out of the seminary, and they want their safe places. They don't want offenses. They don't want to be trouble. They want an easy place tonight. But oh, listen to me tonight, church. What we need tonight, we need to have some fight. When we're in the pit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Exodus 15:3 says this: the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says this: the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What we're failing to realize tonight is this, is that meekness is not weakness. What we've done tonight is that we've turned the fight into a fellowship. I remember sitting in this church building and hearing Brother Browning teach on the church. And this is what he said, if I remember correctly. He said it to this effect. He said the church is not to be a hospital for the wounded comes in and to get mended. He said the church is intended to be a barracks where soldiers come and we train them to go and fight. We're losing tonight the militancy in our churches tonight. And when Paul faced the crossing, he said this. He said, I fought a good fight. And listen to me tonight. We need some fight. There'll be plenty of places tonight for us, if we want to sit down and refuse to go on. But God, give us some grace. And God, help us tonight to keep up the fight.
Yeah.
And then let me close by saying this. When you're in the pit, what a help you tonight. What you need is a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that you're aware that there's a vast difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Webster helps us with this in a little bit. He shines light on this, that a friend is one that's attached to another by affection. He said that it's one who entertains for another sentiments of disdain, which leads him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness. A friend tonight is not about themselves, but it's about someone else. That's a friend. A true friend tonight, according to the scripture, is one that loveth at all times. John the Baptist had such a friend. Remember, he sent those men to the Lord and he said, ask him. I got to know, ask him, is he the one that should come or do I look for another? And Jesus said, go and tell John again those things that you're hearing and seeing. Which tells me tonight that this is not the first time that he had been brought up. And this was not the first time that the Lord had sent answer back to John. But you need a friend. Three things that I find here that's interesting to me about this Ethiopian eunuch that interceded on Jeremiah's behalf that proved that he was more than an acquaintance. First of all, first thing that amazes me is that he was interested in Jeremiah. And can I say this tonight? What was so amazing about his interest is this, that there was nothing that Jeremiah could do for him. We all have those in our life that's interested in us as long as we can pay back. But if you ever find yourself in a dark, deep pit that there's no getting out and there's nothing that you can do in return, happy day that you have got you a friend. It's interested in you. And then number two, something else that was amazing to me about this is that he intervened for Jeremiah. Earlier we find the king told the princes, he said, you look to that. There's nothing that I can do about it. You do with him whatever you want to do. But Jeremiah, he had him a friend in the kingdom. Amen. That wasn't just aware of the fact of where he was at, but he was going to do his part to see what he could do to get him out. He intervened. Where would you and I be tonight were it not be for those that intervened on our behalf? Might have been a mom, might have been a praying dad, it might have been a grandmother, granddad, might have been a pastor.
Yes, sir.
But somebody intervened on your behalf. And then I think this is a word. Donna told me to quit making up words, but I told her, I said, what do you expect? I'm on medicine. Amen. If it's not a word, it ought to be a word. He implemented on behalf of Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is simply this. He was a tool that was used for a particular purpose. You know, finding people that'll tell you what needs to be done is never a problem. Hey, Jeremiah, you need to get out of there, buddy. You're going to die. He said, duh. Y'all know Jeremiah was in there. Boy, that's bad. I hate to be there. Wasn't you? But not this Ethiopian. He went before the king. He said, there's a man in there that don't deserve to be there. And he's going to die if you don't get him out. And that king said, well, if you want him out, you get him out. He said, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. And he gathered him up a group. He went and got everything. And isn't it amazing that when you're in a deep, dark, damp pit dying, it don't matter what is used to get you out. You ain't real choosy. The only thing he'd come up with was old clouts and rags. And he dropped them down. And he said, I tell you what, man of God, just put them up under young pits. Hey, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. Are you listening tonight? What I'm telling you tonight is that when you're in the pit, there's no use for you to sit down and die and give up. All that you need tonight is a little fight and a little faith to believe in, and have somebody that cares enough about you to do whatever they can do in their power to get you out.
Yeah.
You know what else I find there? The choice was up to Jeremiah. He could have said, oh no, not today. No. Go get the ones that put me in the pit. Let them come and let them do right by me. And I want to hear an apology. And beside that, go get the king. He's as responsible for me to being here. And until that happens, you forget it? No. He was wanting out of the pit.
Right.
Let it go.
Yeah. Amen.
Have you ever found yourself in a low place in your life? You're one or two tonight. You're either someone that's in the pit needing somebody to come help you out, or you somebody tonight that knows somebody that's in the pit. And you're going to try your best to do whatever you can to get them out. When you're in the pit. When you're in the pit tonight. While we stand tonight. While our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But you,
God spoke to your heart.